The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street.
Hey, welcome back to the top of the second hour of National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse, anywhere else you hear or see the program. This is the final warning. If you're still on YouTube, get off of there. Go to Kick, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, DLive, any of those other places. Because what I've got coming up is Dr. David Martin from May 3rd, 2023. So about a month ago, Dr. David Martin was speaking to the third annual, I don't know, COVID committee or something like that in front of the EU Parliament, or a select portion of the EU Parliament, and he said some really, really smart things. This is a video clip that I think everybody should see, so I'm going to play it. It's in its entirety. It's about 20 minutes long, so it's going to be pretty much this entire segment. And when it's over, when we come back, I want to hear your questions, comments, and concerns. I want your calls about this clip. So take it away, Dr. David Martin, if my freaking computer will work.
It is a particularly interesting location for me to be sitting today, given that over a decade ago, I sat in this very chair right here in the European Union. And at that time, I warned the world of what was coming. During that conversation that was hosted at the time by the Green and EFA and a number of the other parties of the European Union's various representations, we were having a conversation on whether Europe should adopt the United States policy of allowing for the patents on biologically derived materials. And at the time, I urged this body, and I urged people around the world, that the weaponization of nature against humanity had dire consequences. Tragically, I sit here today with that unfortunate line that I don't like to say, which I told you so. But the fact of the matter is, we're here not for a reprisal on past decisions. We're here to actually, once again, come to the face of the human condition and ask the question, who do we want to be? What do we want humanity to look like? And rather than seeing this as an exercise in futility, which is very easy from time to time when you're in the position I'm in, I actually see this not as an exercise in futility. I see this as one of the greatest opportunities that faces us, because we now have a public conversation, which is now front and center in people's minds. When this was an esoteric conversation about biological patents, nobody cared. But when that conversation came home, then it became something people can care about. So I'm actually quite grateful for this opportunity. I thank the members of Parliament for hosting this. I thank all of the translators who, I apologize in advance, I will use terminology that is probably very difficult to translate, so my apologies. And I'd also like to acknowledge the fact that many of you are aware of my involvement with this, in large part due to the amazing work of my wonderful wife, Kim Martin, who encouraged me at the very early days of this pandemic to get on front of the camera and talk about all the information that I had been sharing among very small groups around the world. And it was, in fact, her encouragement that put me in a place where many of you have heard what I have to say. Ironically, the world that I came came from that used to be very popular, my CNBC and Bloomberg presentations, which were televised. On mainstream media around the world, was an audience that I lost. I can confidently say COVID diminished my fame. But I can also confidently say that I'd rather stand among the people with whom I'm standing today than any of the folks that were part of that previous world. So this is a much better place to be. My role today is to set the stage for this conversation in a historical context, because this did not come in the last 3 years. This did not come in the last 5 or 6 years. This actually is an ongoing question that probably began here in Europe in the early stages of the mid-1900s, but certainly by 1913, 1914, this conversation started right here in Central Europe. The pandemic that we alleged to have happened in the last few years also did not happen overnight. In fact, the very specific pandemic using coronavirus began in a very different time. And we'll try to advance the slides here with one of these things. Oh, there we go. Most of you don't know that coronavirus as a model of a pathogen was isolated in 1965. Coronavirus was identified in 1965 as one of the first infectious replicatable viral models that could be used to modify a series of other experiences of the human condition. It was isolated once upon a time associated with the common cold. But what's particularly interesting about its isolation in 1965 was that it was immediately identified as a pathogen that could be used and modified for a whole host of reasons. And you heard me correctly, that was 1965. And by the way, these slides are public domain. You're welcome to look at every single reference. Every comment that I made is based on published material, so do make sure that you look at those references. But in 1966, the very first COV coronavirus model was used as a transatlantic biological experiment in human manipulation. And you heard the date, 1966. I hope you're getting the point of what I'm saying. This is not an overnight thing. This is actually something that's been long in the making. A year before I was born, we had the first transatlantic coronavirus data sharing experiment between the United States and the United Kingdom. And in 1967, the year I was born, we did the first human trials on inoculating people with modified coronavirus. Isn't that amazing? 56 years ago, the overnight success of a pathogen that's been 56 years in engineering. And I want that to chill with all of you. Where were we when we actually allowed, in violation of bylaws, biological and chemical weapons treaties, where were we as a human civilization when we thought it was an acceptable thing to do to take a pathogen for the United States and infect the world with it? Where was that conversation? And what should have been that conversation in 1967. That conversation wasn't had. Ironically, the common cold was turned into a chimera in the 1970s. And in 1975, 1976, and 1977, we started figuring out how to modify coronavirus by putting it into different animals. Pigs and dogs. And not surprisingly, by the time we got to 1990, we found out that coronavirus as a infectious agent was an industrial problem for two primary industries, the industries of dogs and pigs. Dog breeders and pigs found that coronavirus created gastrointestinal problems, and that became the basis for Pfizer's first spike protein vaccine patent filed, are you ready for this, in 1990. Did you hear what I just said? 1990. Operation Warp Speed? I'm sorry. Where's the warp and the speed? Pfizer, 1990, the very first spike protein vaccine for coronavirus. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't it fascinating that we were told that, well, the spike protein is a new thing. We just found out that that's the problem. No. As a matter of fact, we didn't just find out it was not just now the problem. We found that out in 1990 and filed the first patents on vaccines in 1990 for the spike protein of coronavirus. And who would have thought? Pfizer. Clearly the innocent organization that does nothing but promote human health. Clearly Pfizer. The organization that has not bought the votes in this chamber and in every chamber of every government around the world. Not that Pfizer. Certainly, they wouldn't have had anything to do with this. But, oh, yes, they did. And in 1990, they found out that there was a problem with vaccines. They didn't work. You know why they didn't work? It turns out that coronavirus is a very malleable model. It transforms and it changes and it mutates over time. As a matter of fact, every publication on vaccines for coronavirus from 1990 until 2018, every single publication concluded that coronavirus escapes the vaccine impulse because it modifies and mutates too quickly for vaccines to be effective. And since 1990 to 2018, that is the published science, ladies and gentlemen. That's following the science. Following the science is their own indictment of their own programs that said it doesn't work. And there are thousands of publications to that effect, not a few hundred. And not paid for by pharmaceutical companies. These are publications that are independent scientific research that shows unequivocally, including efforts of the chimera modifications made by Ralph Baric in the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. All of them show vaccines do not work on coronavirus. That's the science. And that science has never been disputed. But then we had an interesting development in 2002. And this date is most important. Because in 2002, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, patented, and I quote, an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus. Listen to those words, infectious replication defective. What does that phrase actually mean? For those of you not familiar, with language, let me unpack it for you. Infectious replication defective means a weapon. It means something meant to target an individual but not have collateral damage to other individuals. That's what infectious replication defective means. And that patent was filed in 2002 on Work funded by NIAID's Anthony Fauci from 1999 to 2002, and that work patented at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, mysteriously preceded SARS 1.0 by a year. Dave, are you suggesting that SARS 1.0 wasn't from a wet market in Wuhan? Are you suggesting it might have come from a laboratory in the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill? No, I'm not suggesting it. I'm telling you that's the facts. We engineered SARS. SARS is not a naturally occurring phenomenon. The naturally occurring phenomenon is called the common cold. It's called influenza-like illness. It's called gastroenteritis. That's the naturally occurring coronavirus. SARS is the research developed by humans weaponizing a life system model to actually attack human beings. And they patented it in 2002. And in 2003, giant surprise, the CDC filed the patent on coronavirus isolated from humans in violation once again of biological and chemical weapons treaties and laws that we have in the United States. And I'm very, very precise on this. The United States likes to talk about its rights and everything else and the rule of law and all the nonsense that we like to talk about. But we don't ratify treaties about, I don't know, defending humans. We conspicuously avoid that. We actually have a great track record of advocating for human rights and then denying them when it comes to actually being part of the international community, which is a slightly problematic thing. But let's get something very clear. When the CDC in April of 2003 filed the patent on SARS coronavirus isolated from humans, what did they do? They downloaded a sequence from China and filed a patent on it in the United States. Any of you familiar with biological and chemical weapons treaties knows that's a violation. That's a crime. That's not an innocent oops. That's a crime. And the United States Patent Office went as far as to reject that patent application on two occasions until the CDC decided to bribe the Patent Office to override the patent examiner to ultimately issue the patent in 2007 on SARS coronavirus. But let's not let that get away from us, because it turns out that the RT-PCR, which was the test that we allegedly were going to use to identify the risks associated with coronavirus, was actually identified as a bioterrorism threat by me in the European Union-sponsored events in
Well, didn't make it through the video because all of my connectivity issues. But 3-minute commercial break. We'll be back on the other side. Hopefully I can figure this crap out.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Soon you will be dancing face to face with the limits of ambition and the scars of the marketplace. Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn that packaging is all that heaven is.
For anybody who has anything to say about Dr. Martin there, the phone line 512-248-8252. Or 800-343-9443. There's still quite a bit of that video left because of my technical glitches and everything. I'm going to continue to let it play. But if you've got a call, a question, a comment, or concerns, please call in. We can talk right over the dock if we have to.
In 2003, 20 years ago, that happened here in Brussels and across Europe. Not a naturally occurring phenomenon. The naturally occurring phenomenon is called the common cold. It's called influenza chamber of every government around the world. Not that Pfizer. Certainly, they wouldn't have had anything to do with this.
Jerry in Chicago, line one. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it was breaking up quite a bit. Can you give me where I can hear this guy's entire epilogue of what he's talking about?
Well, I found it on Rumble, and all you have to do is search for Dr.
Hello? Ooh, man. You're breaking up, too. You're in and out. Doctor Who. and I might be the only guy on air. I'd sing, but I have a terrible singing voice.
We got you there, Jerry. I think it's, it's Dr. David Martin.
Dr. David Martin. Okay, thank you very much.
Let's see if we can get Peter back.
Oh.
Sorry, he's having such a hard time today, everybody.
Is it, you know what, yesterday was a bad day around here in Illinois with the internet, because I had to go renew my driver's license, and I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
Hey, so there with me, I really think it's my own computer. I don't think it's the internet. I could be wrong. I've done everything I could think of. But anyway, search for Dr. David Martin, May 3, 2023. I found it in several places, but there's a specific Rumble video that has the slideshow that the doctor refers to in it. And it's got the doctor, you know, kind of small off to one side and the slideshow nice and big. So it's giving like a lot of the source data in the slides, like where he's quoting from.
Well, because this amazed me when he started off with, they started looking into this in 1965. I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. I was minus seven.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ed, when this came out, the coronavirus and how bad it was going to be and everything else, I knew it was a lie. I looked at my brothers and sisters. I says, guys, put away the masks. And they were wiping off their groceries before they carried them into the house and wearing rubber gloves and all this other stuff. And I just like, hey, listen, I'm going to give you a little bit of update. Our government has never told me the truth in 63 years of my life. So why should I believe them now?
Right.
It's as simple as that. They've lied, and lied again. And every time you corner them, they lie or nothing happens. You know, so, oh, man. But, hey, I'm glad you had this guy on. And thank you very much for this information. And you have yourself a great show and a great weekend.
Yeah, well, hopefully the rest of the show goes a little smoother than the previous show. I turned my camera off, which seems to have helped a lot. So, yeah, Dr. David Martin, May 3, 2023. He's speaking to the third annual Committee on Coronavirus or something like that, put forth by the EU Parliament in Brussels. Anyway, let's continue with the doc.
In 2005... this particular pathogen was specifically labeled as a bio.
Or maybe not.
Terrorism and bioweapon platform technology. Described as such, that's not my terminology that I'm applying to it. It was actually described. Is a bioweapons platform technology in 2005. And from 2005 onwards,
man, this is so bad. I don't.
It was actually a biowarfare enabling.
I don't get it. My computer
agent.
Sucks.
Its official classification from 2005 forward. I don't know if that sounds like public health to you. Does it? Biological warfare enabling technology. That feels like not public health. That feels like not medicine. That feels like a weapon designed
Oh, come on. You've got to be kidding me. I don't know. It looks like I'm going to have to buy a new computer before next week's show. Because this just isn't going to be, this is unacceptable. This is the most pathetic and unprofessional show I've ever done, including my very first show, which was just a lousy podcast of me sitting in my basement before I even bought any fancy equipment. This is horrible.
To take out humanity. That's what it feels like. And it feels like that because that's exactly what it is. We have been.
Hey, Sarah in Oregon, welcome to the show.
Remember, free speech isn't free. So share your share whatever podcast you love to listen to on any of the free speech networks. Share it out, rate, review, rinse and repeat.
We love that. That's how you get past all of the YouTube censor Nazis and Google censor Nazis and all that kind of stuff. We need your help. Help spread the word. Greatly appreciate it. Pat in Fort Worth, line one. Pat, I haven't heard from you in quite a while. I thought maybe I upset you.
Hi, Peter. I'm glad to hear this being told, because my first thought when I heard of this was, I believe University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill was involved, because they had a school for embalmers, and I called it the embalmer job thing. Uh-huh. Now they have schools all over the country for embalmers. Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised that this video hasn't been all over RBN by now. Like, I thought for sure that I'd be playing this. I thought for sure I'd be playing this, and Mike would be like, oh, no, not again.
Well, I think it has, but, you know, everybody's so full of information anymore, they have to almost hear something two or three times before it sinks in.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, I was the only one that ever said anything about Chapel Hill, North Carolina. But you know what? That's what it looks like. They used to sit there and rock on the front of the hospitals waiting for somebody to die. Now they have more work than they can keep up with.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's awesome. True.
Well, it's the truth. I watched it myself. They usually had a funeral home right close to the hospital. They had nothing to do but rock on the porch and look and hope. Sorry. Okay, well, I'll let you
It's nice to hear from you again. It's been a while since you called in on my show. I thought maybe I upset you.
Nobody, you know, when you got a good show, nobody wants to interrupt it.
Is that
I'm doing that right now, but I'll let you go. That's just my opinion, you know. All right, thanks. Bye.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much, Pat.
Lured into believing that EcoHealth Alliance and DARPA and all of these organizations are what we should be pointing to, but we've been specifically.
Oh my God. All right, so apparently I'm going to have to buy a new computer. So if you want to help me out, I'd greatly appreciate that. Go to liberty-lighthouse.com. You can hit the donate button. You can buy something from the shop. I got a new T-shirt that I really like. It says, I'm on a government watch list.
Requested to ignore the facts that over...
And then, of course, there's the bumper stickers that say, working like crazy to support the lazy. T-shirts, shot glasses, rocks glasses. Have a cocktail with me while we do the show. Coffee mugs, all that kind of stuff. There's tons of merchandise. Please, liberty-lighthouse.com, and help me out so that I can afford to buy the new computer that I apparently need to have by next week, because this is just a pathetic broadcast, and I wouldn't want to do this again. Anyway, any other questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to call in 512-248-8252, 913-943-3. Hey, Mike.
$10 billion have been funneled through black operations through the check of Anthony Fauci and a side-by-side ledger where NIAID has a balance sheet, and next to it is a biodefense balance sheet equivalent dollar-for-dollar matching that no one in the media talks about. And it's been going on since 2005. Our gain-of-function moratorium, the moratorium that was supposed to freeze any efforts to do gain-of-function research, conveniently in the fall...
Wow, this is terrible.
In 2014, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, received a letter from NIAID saying...
Got Mike, the producer, looking to see if he can play it from his side if we can get the time stamps.
Gain of function moratorium. The moratorium that was supposed to freeze any efforts to do gain of function research. Conveniently, in the fall of 2014, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, received a letter from NIAID saying that while the gain-of-function moratorium on coronavirus in vivo should be suspended, because their grants had already been funded, they received an exemption. Did you hear what I just said? A biological weapons lab facility at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, received an exemption from the gain-of-function moratorium so that by 2016, we could publish the journal article that said SARS coronavirus is poised
to make me crazy. This is my worst show ever.
For human emergence in 2016.
There aren't even more processes that I can kill to try to make
and
this thing faster.
What? You might ask.
It's terrible.
Ask Dave, was the coronavirus poised for human emergence? It was WIV1. Wuhan
Institute of Virology 1.
Institute of Virology Virus 1. Poised for human emergence in 2016 at the proceedings of the National Sciences, such that by the time we get to 2017 and 2018, the following phrase entered into common parlance among the community. There is going to be an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen. The operative word, obviously, in that phrase, the word release. Does that sound like leak? Does that sound like a bat and a pangolin went into a bar in the Wuhan market and hung out and had sex, and lo and behold, we got SARS-CoV-2? No. Accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen was the terminology used, and four times in April of 2019. 7 months before the allegation of patient number one, four patent applications of Moderna were modified to include the term accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen as the justification for making a vaccine for a thing that did not exist. Keep going. If you have not done so, please make sure that you make reference in every investigation to premeditation nature of this, because it was in September of 2019 that the world was informed that we were going to have an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen so that by September 2020, there would be a worldwide acceptance of a universal vaccine template. That's their words. Right in front of you on the screen. The intent was to get the world to accept a universal vaccine template, and the intent was to use coronavirus to get there. And the last slide. This isn't advancing, so if I could have somebody do it. Let's read this, because we have to read this into the record everywhere I go. Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at the emergency threshold, that is often largely ignored. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, he said, we need to increase the public understanding for the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. Sounds like public health? Sounds like the best of humanity? No, ladies and gentlemen, this was premeditated domestic terrorism stated at the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2015, published in front of them. This is an act of biological and chemical warfare perpetrated on the human race, and it was admitted to in writing that this was a financial heist and a financial fraud. Investors will follow if they see profit at the end of the process. Let me conclude by making five very brief recommendations. The last slide. Nature was hijacked. This whole story started in 1965 when we decided to hijack a natural model and decide to start manipulating it. Science was hijacked when the only questions that could be asked were questions authorized under the patent protection of the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, and their equivalent organizations around the world. We didn't have independent science. We had hijacked science. And unfortunately, there was no moral oversight in violation of all of the codes that we stand for. There was no independent, financially disinterested, independent review board ever impaneled around coronavirus. Not once. Not once. Not since 1965. We do not have a single independent IRB ever impaneled around coronavirus. So morality was suspended for medical countermeasures. And ultimately, humanity was lost because we decided to allow it to happen. Our job today is to say no more gain-of-function research, period. No more weaponization of nature, period. And most importantly, no more corporate patronage of science for their own self-interest unless they assume 100% product liability for every injury and every death that they maintain. Thank you very much.
Okay, there it is, Dr. David Martin from, Dr. David Martin from May 3rd, 2023. At the EU third annual COVID coronavirus summit thing. This has been the most stressful and annoying and pathetic, unprofessional show I've ever done. I'm very, very sorry about that. I don't know how to fix it. I'm not that guy. Apparently, my computer is a piece of crap. Worked fine for a while, started doing video live streams, worked fine for a while, then it starts to go bad. Anyway, we've got, 7 minutes left in the show. 7 minutes I'd like to give to you, the callers, the listeners, the viewers. 512-248-8252, 800-313-9443. Dr. David Martin there, to be honest, I don't know how he's still alive. He's saying all of the things that we all have known, all the things that got us shut down, got me removed from YouTube, things that got doctors ostracized out of the professions. He's saying things that, like I said, I don't know why he's still alive. I don't know how that's possible. I don't think he will be for long. I don't know. Maybe this video's gotten enough views that he's safe now. Like, it'd be too obvious if he were to just disappear. Maybe. This is a month old. And it should be screamed from the rooftops. It should be published everywhere. But if you search Dr. David Martin's name, you'll find tons of articles trying to discredit him. As a matter of fact, that was the first thing I found. See, so I saw this video. Or actually, somebody commented, said, look up this guy. When I searched for it, one of the first things I came across was like, you know, who is this guy? Who is Dr. David Martin? Well, he's written a few self-help books and this and that. And they trying to disrepute the forum where he was speaking. Well, it's a committee known for allowing right-wing conspiracy theorists to have the voice. Funny. Everything he said either made perfect logical sense, or he had the facts, he had the data, he had the, you know, the patents, he had the dates, the times, he knew what was on. Why I like that video so much, and I do recommend that you go out and you find it, and it's on the RBN website, it's on Rumble, it's a whole lot of places. You watch the whole thing without the glitches and pauses and crap that my computer did. Just watch the whole thing. He speaks for about 21 minutes, Dr. David Martin, which is why I thought I'd be able to play it in one segment of the show, but because of my technical difficulties, it took almost two whole segments. Watch him. It's worth a listen. He's one of the best I've seen of taking all of this COVID conspiracy stuff and putting it all together in one relatively short presentation, going back all the way to 1965 and showing the progression. He knew it was happening. He warned about it ahead of time. Anyway. Sponsor for this segment was supposed to be Romika Designs. My buddies at Romika Designs do awesome laser work, awesome laser engraving and laser cutting of awesome products. One of the coolest things that they have for a Father's Day idea, if you act quick, you might be able to still get it for Father's Day, is they've got a pocket knife, and you can engrave both the handle and the blade of the pocket knife, and you can get it in a gift box, and he'll engrave the gift box too. And it's a really nice pocket knife, like heirloom quality pocket knife. But Romika Designs does some awesome custom design work. You want to get your logo or your personal embroidery, your personal monogram, just about anything you want. Go to romikadesigns.com, R-O-M-I-K-A, designs.com. Use code Lighthouse. I'll save you a few dollars, and you'll help me out. And I greatly appreciate that. And like I said, awesome Father's Day gifts. One of his best-selling things for Father's Day was a hammer with, you know, funny phrases on engraved on them. Things like, you know, thanks for nailing mom for Father's Day gift. I thought that was pretty funny. Anyway, that's the final sponsor of this here final segment. And Dr. David Martin, highly recommend. Look up that video when you find it. Share it out to everybody you know. That video, it's a month old, and I don't generally like to play news stuff that's a month old, but it didn't get the traction that I thought it should. I haven't seen it everywhere like I thought we should see it, so I wanted to play it in its entirety. Sorry about my technical difficulties that made it far less more interesting. Find it, share it, send it to everybody. It is worth the share. And let's see, republicbroadcasting.org, and they're going to repost the video there. So let's see here. Mike says he's reposted it. So it's the latest post in video and news section on the Republic Broadcasting website, republicbroadcasting.org. So it's the latest post in the video and news section. So if you could share it from there, that would be super fantastic too. And Mike, I hope you got the one from Rumble with the slideshow, because it loses a lot if it doesn't have the slideshow that goes along with his speech. That I had to find that one in particular before I put it out here for you all. Anyway, I'd like to say that tonight has been fun, but it hasn't. And I don't know, if you give me another chance, I'd like to come back next week and try to be better. Let's see, what do I got going on next week? Who's our lucky guest? Next week would be Colonel Mike Ford from, what's the name? American Free News Network. And Corey Haig from Liberty Uncensored Newspaper. So two news guys are our guests next week on the 15th, Thursday the 15th of July, which will be just a couple of days after Flag Day. Actually, the day after Flag Day. And don't forget, I post speeches for all the patriotic holidays, including Flag Day. So I will be posting a short Flag Day speech that you'll be able to find at liberty-lighthouse.com. Share that out to your friends and family to remind them, you know, we do have things to be proud of in this country. We might not be perfect, but we are, well, probably the most perfect country out there. If you're listening live on Republic Broadcasting Network, thank you for listening and stay tuned for Edge of Darkness with Jeffrey Bennett. I want to thanks to Scott, our guest this evening. Thank you, Mike, the producer of the show. Couldn't do the show without you. And most of all, thank you, the listeners and callers. You're why we do this show. And until next week, protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America.
Take America back. We must take America back.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket. Not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.